The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. I bring you greetings from Bishop Lull and the 112 congregations that join with you in this synod to respond to God's mission at this time. I give thanks for the opportunity to share in this day with you as we come together to formally install Pastor Elizabeth and come together after a summer schedule when we have a different pace in our life and different things we're tending to. And now at this time, I give thanks to be able to share with you a time of dwelling in the Word. I want to first look at the psalm. Did you hear the plea of the psalmist to be washed clean of his sin, even as he cries out, "My sin is ever before me"? This deep lament and cry from King David comes out of his own actions, which created broken relationships, betrayal, and death. And he says, "I have done what is evil in your sight." But in this psalm, we also hear the psalmist cry for God's mercy and compassion. "Have mercy on me, O God. O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression." He calls out to God in his brokenness and pleads for cleansing. "Blot out my transgressions. Purge me of my sin." And he calls out with lament to God, his creator, to make his sinful heart new. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." We know this cry ourselves, don't we? Sin moves in and out of our beings each and every day. It breaks into our individual relationships. It moves through our thoughtless actions and hurtful words. "My sin is ever before me. God, have mercy on me." And we experience the lament of sin in our neighborhoods, our world. As we read a Twitter feed, search the internet, turn on the news, or read the headlines. My dear friends, as we went through this week, our hearts were heavy as we learned the Wetterlings' hope of some almost 27 years ended as sin's heart-wrenching truth was found in the ground. And today, we move through this day remembering the devastation of sin 15 years ago. And in our new normal, sin continues to creep in as we remember. Our presiding bishop, Liz Eaton, wrote this: "We should take time to remember where we were on that terrible day 15 years ago. But we should also take a look at where we are now. There are voices that clamor for suspicion and division. There are voices that promise that by our own effort, we can guarantee our own security. The sense of unity that arose out of the ashes of the Twin Towers has disappeared. This is not a good place to be, nor is it the place to which God has called us as a church." My dear friends, I want to say thank you on behalf of the whole synod for the way you opened your doors and provided a welcome to our Muslim neighbors, breaking down barriers of fear and prejudice by your simple actions of welcome. Thank you. That is church. But we do live in sin, and like the psalmist, we cry out from the pain of our own sin and the devastating sin in our world. Blot out my sin, cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit in me.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit.
Thank you. These words, which I have sung over and over, as I'm sure you have as well, and if like me, sometimes they're just words, and we're not listening to what they're saying to our hearts. But in this day, they're a prayer. As I turn to God in my sinfulness, seeking mercy and compassion, seeking God's grace. And my prayer is that you too hear in those words a prayer. And it's here, dear friends, that we meet the gospel. The gospel reading from today, and experience God's relentless mercy and grace in the midst of our sinfulness. As I read in Luke 15, Jesus uses parables to teach those who have gathered to listen to him, and as well as those that were grumbling, the Pharisees and the scribes. We know a parable is a story, right? And a favorite teaching method of Jesus. In parables, Jesus invites us to know God. And these two parables do just that, as Nick shared in just a few minutes ago with the kids. When I read these parables, I think about a song I sang in camp. I'm not going to sing it to you, obviously. Pastor Elizabeth does that much better than I. But it's "Our God is an Awesome God." Do some of you know that? Like, yep, I see your head shaking. Wonderful. So sing it in your head a little bit. I go to this song because there's single words that come jumping out at me as I read and listen to this gospel, these parables. Like, "Our God is a persistent God. Our God is a seeking God. Our God is an active God." When you have a chance this week, look again at the parables. As Nick said, 99 sheep were left, and the shepherd goes searching. The woman lights her precious oil lamp to search all night for one coin. The sheep and the coin, they do nothing. They're found, they're picked up, and then there is a celebration. In these parables, Jesus speaks to God's relentlessness in keeping relationship with each one of us. All 7 billion at one time. God is the shepherd, the woman, seeking to find the lost and then to celebrate with us. Hear this, it is not simply the seeking that is holy, but it is the seeking of the one that boldly breaks into each one of our lives as we wander or get lost. Do you hear what Nick said earlier? Do you hear the teaching? You are important. You are loved. And God will seek you no matter where you are. Like the psalmist, we have been or are now lost even as we sit here together. Lost to sin, right? But also lost to our choices, which focus on wants more than needs. Our priorities and even our values are blasted by a consumer culture, competition with our next door neighbors, or simply a sense of entitlement. This plays with our heart and mind, and we may find ourselves lost, moving away from our core values, moving away from our center, our Christ. Here, dear friends, is exactly where God boldly breaks into each and every one of our lives and picks us up and carries us back to a celebration. 99 were there, right? The celebration could have been happening. Yet one of us was missing. You, me, one of us. And God went looking. God brings us back to the center, wrapping us in a celebration of grace. Our God is a rejoicing God, calling us to come together and celebrate, that is, to welcome sinners, the lost, into our fellowship, into our pews, and rejoice when they are found. We do this, right? As we gather here this morning, when we pass the peace, when we reach out to another and bless them with God's love and blessings in the day, when I'm welcomed warmly by Mike and George, and I'm called by name, when you greet the visitor, I want to tell you just a really quick story about that. In the congregation that my sons were raised in, we had a retired pastor, and he knew how to greet the visitor like I could only wish to do. He died, and my youngest son said, I think he was actually probably about 13 when this happened. My youngest son said, "Mom, who will greet me on Sunday morning?" There were a whole host of congregational members who have known him since the day he was born. Every single one of them would have greeted him. But Pastor John would always touch his shoulder. "Colton, it's good to have you here today." That kind of greeting is what we're called to do when we welcome somebody into the celebration. And it's here at Memorial Lutheran Church that we do gather today to celebrate. We celebrate Pastor Elizabeth's installation today, a time to formally recognize and look forward to your shared ministry. And we celebrate coming together as the summer ends, bummer, but the church program year begins. This coming together is a part of our Christian life, right? That is, coming together and celebrating God's redemptive action in Jesus Christ our Lord. We do it as we worship together on Sunday mornings, but also as we serve and learn together, and as we pray for one another. As you walk in and out of this sanctuary, or gather in your fellowship area, or in your Sunday school room, celebrate the people that are there sitting with you, and rejoice in God's persistent seeking of the one who is not. Pray for the one who is not here. As you move into this new program year and faithfully welcome and serve with Pastor Elizabeth, I pray you will dwell in the mercy and grace of God's relationship with each of you. And who you are is a whole community of faith, right? You are individuals, but you are a whole community of faith. Draw on your learnings of radical hospitality and consider how the lost might be celebrated, how the one who is missing might hear Christ's invitation to the table in this place. Amen.